For our scripture this morning, I will read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the verses 1 through 14, and then from the first letter of John, chapter 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And now turning to the letter of John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And now what follows is the text. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So far the text. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So far the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world is Jesus. So we sing, come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No doubt, the composer of that hymn had in mind the words of John 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, especially to the scribes and the Pharisees who were trying to ensnare him. And he said to them, I am the light of the world. He then went on to say, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Of course, John had heard that also. But John had heard something else also. John had heard Jesus say also, you my disciples, you my followers, you are the light of the world. And see, those two sayings, those two words, namely that he is the light and that all who belong to him, who are in him, are called to be the light. Those two words lie at the root of our text. I invite you to listen carefully that you may hear what it is the Spirit says to the church, and so to each one of us personally in this passage of Scripture. I'm going to speak on walk in the light. There are three things in this passage to which we should pay careful attention as follows. First of all, to the affirmation, God is light, there is no darkness in him. Secondly, to the implication, we must be children of light. And then finally, to the foundation, namely the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. It is especially the Apostle John, who both in his gospel account and in his letters speaks of God as the light. This is the message, says John. Yes, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. As it were, then, to drive the point home, he adds, and in him there is no darkness at all. Remember now, John had begun his letter by saying that he wants to proclaim what he had heard and what he had seen. Now he says it again. This message, says John, which I am proclaiming to you, why, it is the age-old message. The form in which John records that underscores the fact that this truth has always been. God is, he always has been, the light. I'm only passing on to you, says John. Yes, I'm only passing on to you what I myself have heard. If you were then to ask him, John, where did you hear that? Then John would have told you, I heard it from both. I heard it from the Old Testament scriptures, and I heard it from Jesus Christ, whose apostle I am. With Psalm 27, we sing, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And with Psalm 36, we confess, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. When John then writes his gospel account, he testifies that what he writes about the glory of the Word made flesh, that he had also seen. We have seen his glory, writes John, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well now, what was that glory which John had seen? This, he saw that in the Word that was in the beginning with God, the Word that was God, the Word that had now come in the flesh of man, he saw that in him was life. And that life, I ask, that life, it was the light of men. In Jesus, says John, in Jesus, I saw the revelation of the light of God. In Jesus, I saw that God is light. And the light, as was revealed in Jesus Christ, I ask, that light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. That is, the darkness cannot overpower it. The darkness, you understand, that is here a reference to the devil and all his host. It is a reference to all who stand in his service. The devil, why, he is the prince of darkness grim, as Luther had spoken of him. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. Jesus himself had said to Nicodemus, remember, the light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works are evil. And Jesus had explained that, for, he said, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and has not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. So it is clear, all that is evil, all that is corrupt, it all belongs to the darkness. And, yes, and it looks for the cover of darkness. It will not come to the light, for the light will expose the works of darkness. But no, that is simply another way of saying that all who love evil, all who do what is corrupt, all such will not come to God. For God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. You see, if there were some darkness in God, just a tiny bit of darkness, why then perhaps they might be able to camouflage, to cover up, to hide their corruptions in or with that darkness. Then they might even feel free to draw near to God. But God is light, pure light. There is no darkness in him at all. So no one can hide any evil, any corruption, any sin, however small, from the Lord. That, you see, that is true for all who love the works of darkness, who would never dream of coming to the light, who sense no need for the light of the world, who despise and reject him who is the light of God incarnate. But that is also true, listen carefully now, that is also true for all who profess the light. It is true for all who claim that they are the children of the light. See, no one can hide any sin or evil or corruption, however small, from the Lord. Well, now, that is what the affirmation, God is light, there is no darkness in him, means to underscore. You cannot hide yourself or your sin from him who is the light. But John doesn't stop there. He moves from the affirmation, God is light, to the implication. Any and all who claim that light, why, they must live as children of the light. The second point. In his gospel account, remember, John had written, but to all who did receive him, Jesus the light, who believed in his name, to all such he gave the right to become children of God. Children of the light, you understand, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And now John writes a letter. It is a letter addressed to the churches, that is, to the Christians of Asia Minor. It is not clear from this letter whether John is responding to an actual problem, whether he simply means to teach them, to give his readers instruction on the Christian walk of life. But it is clear that John wants his readers, us today, to understand that having fellowship with God means having fellowship with him who is the light. And that, he says, that fellowship, it is not possible if in fact you are walking in the darkness. After all, light and darkness, as we just saw, light and darkness are opposites. They repel each other. The one cannot tolerate the other. There is no fellowship between Christ and Belial, says the Bible, period. Therefore, it is a lie. It is a lie to claim that you have fellowship with him who is the light, if in fact you are walking in the darkness. Well, that brings up the question, what does John mean? What is he talking about when he talks about walking in the darkness? Oh no, then he does not mean that it will never ever happen that we, because of the weakness of our flesh, fall into sin. That, as we hear every time the law of the Lord is read, that is something every Christian struggles with every day. That's about conversion, specifically the dying away of the old self, is all about. It is to be genuinely sorry for sin, the sin that is still there in our life. It is to hate that sin more and more, and it is to run far away from it. But then there is also, yes, then there has to be the coming to life of the new self that goes hand in hand with it. And that, as you know, that is a wholehearted joy in God through Christ. And it is a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to. Such, as you may recognize, is the confession of Lord's Day 33. So it is clear, John is not talking about a falling into sin of which you then also repent, but about walking in the darkness. See, that means that you love the way of the flesh. It means that you have no delight in the will of the Lord. It means that you practice deceit and falsehood, and that you give yourself freely to that. It means that you do love yourself, and that you do indulge yourself, but that you love neither the Lord nor your neighbor as yourself. At this point, it is important that we remind ourselves that John is addressing the church here. He's writing to people who say, who confess, that they are Christians. Notice what John says here. If we, people of the church, you understand, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, that tells you that this can be a very subtle thing. No, not that each one of us personally doesn't know what it is that really motivates us. We all know our own heart, right? But it is possible that we fool others. And in fooling others, it is possible that you deceive yourself. After all, the darkness blinds. Let me take as an example the love life between a man and a woman. See, it can happen. It happens that the one says to the other, "Honey, I love you." But what is really meant is, "Honey, I want you in order that I may satisfy myself. I really mean to use you for myself, for my self-indulgence. I really mean to use you to satisfy me." The TV ads and many of its programs are filled with that kind of deception. And if you watch them, then be warned, you will fill your heart with that kind of deceit. Oh no. The fact is, that kind of deceit can also be practiced in relation to the Lord. There are people who mean to have a relationship with the Lord, only, mind you, only for what they think they can get out of it for themselves. They are still very much people of this world. They do not have, nor do they want, any renewal of mind. That is, they think and they do, they want to think and they want to do as the world thinks and does. They walk in darkness, though they know about and confess the light. Then John minces no words. "You're a liar," he says. "Anyone who claims to have fellowship with the Lord, who is the light, remember, anyone who claims to have fellowship with the Lord while he walks, continues to walk, wants to walk in the darkness, such a person lies and does not practice the truth." That is, such a person does not live in accordance with the truth. Then the Word of God, which is the truth, does not dwell in you. Then Christ, the Word made flesh, who is the truth of God incarnate, then Christ does not live in you. Then you are caught, still caught, in the grip of the lie. Then Satan, who is the father of lies, is in control of your life. Then you are still lying in the midst of death. from the way John constructed his sentences here, it is clear that this line is the pivotal line, the pivotal sentence. What John says is this: people, you must understand that the lie goes with, it belongs to the darkness, the way the truth goes with, belongs with the light. So you always come down on one side or the other, but you can't have it both ways. Notice that John mentions both the lie and the truth, as it were, in one breath. We lie and do not practice, do not live according to the truth, he says, if we walk in the darkness while claiming to be in the light. But about all of that changes, that is, we are in the truth indeed, if we indeed walk in the light. Walking in the light, you see, means that you listen carefully to what it is the Lord says to us in his word, and that you do that, not once in a while, but always, continuously. It means that you delight to do every kind of good as the Lord asks that of us in his word. It means that you abhor deceit and falsehood. It means that the word of the Lord is indeed the lamp for your feet and the light for your path. And that you instruct your children, whom you have presented for baptism, in that truth. You see, the Lord not only created us his image bearers, but image bearing is also our daily calling. So you see, it is indeed true. The heavens declare the glory of God, as Psalm 19 confesses. But it is also true that we who bear the name of our God, we are called to declare his glory and his majesty in all the earth. Oh yes, it's true. The name of the Lord is majestic in all the earth, as Psalm 8 confesses it to be. But it is also true that the Lord wants us, his children, to reflect his image in such a way that all who see us will praise the Lord on account of us. When you reflect on that for just a moment, you realize that that is a tremendous challenge. And do you know where that will right away be shown? Yes, it will be shown in the fellowship which we have with one another. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, says John, we have fellowship with one another. Then it can't miss. Then that's how it will be. We had not really expected John to say that at this point. We'd expected him to say, if we walk in the light, you'll have fellowship with him, with God. After all, that's where verse 6 had started, right? But the fact is, you can't separate the two. Or to be sure, you must not confuse the two. The neighbor is not God. Therefore, the neighbor has no claim on the love which the Lord demands from us for himself. But the fact remains that all who walk in the light, in the childlike obedience to the word of the covenant which the Lord God requires of us, his children, yes, all who walk in the light will have fellowship not only with the Lord, but they will have fellowship with those who, like them, walk in the light. And the fact is, our love for the Lord will be shown in our love for each other. John says that very concretely later on. Just listen. In verse 9 of the next chapter, John writes, "Whoever says that he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness." And in chapter 4, verse 20, John writes, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar." Why? Well, because he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So it's clear. Claim that you have fellowship with God when in fact you have no fellowship with your brother. See, that is a farce. It is a lie. But it is also true that if you in truth have fellowship with God, why then you will have fellowship with your brother and sister in the Lord. Then and so, there is the communion of saints. After all, then you are walking in the light of the Lord, who will surely lead and direct you to seek fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's not difficult to understand that this word touches upon every facet of our life, also on our courtship and marriage. See, there too, there especially, it is so very important that we walk in the light together, that we be one in the faith, one in our commitment to the Lord. Then the wife will indeed respect her husband and be in submission to him. And then the husband will love his wife and give himself up for her. Then he will not lord it over the wife, and he certainly will not regard her as his property, but he will cherish her and care for her as the apple of his eye. And then together, walking in the light, they will nurture their children in the fear of the Lord. They will tell them the mighty deeds of the Lord, how great and majestic he is, how full of love and grace he is, how marvelous his covenant is. And yes, they will call them to the obedience of the covenant, to repentance, and to renewal of life. And they will be blessed, and their blessedness will shine forth. Well now, all that is possible because we have a solid foundation, namely Jesus Christ, whose blood has cleansed us from all our sins. The third point. The blood of Jesus, that, as you know, that is a reference to the atoning death our Savior died on the cross for us. I see the Father. The Father had laid on him the iniquity of us all, so that by his atoning death we might have life, the light of life. His blood cleanses us from all sin, writes John. they indeed underscores that our life rests, can only rest upon the foundation of Christ's death. But the way John says that here is such that he also underscores that we, his children, by grace through faith, we must come to God to seek forgiveness. Calvin, commenting on this passage, says, "Remission of sins cannot be separated from repentance, nor can the peace of God be in those consciences where the fear of God does not reign." Therefore, he then goes on to say, "Therefore, all the saints need daily forgiveness of sins. And this alone keeps us in the family of God." You see, it is true. We cannot establish the fellowship with God. That is his gift to us. The covenant made in days of old with Abraham, he does uphold. So we sing, and such is the truth of God. But it is also true that all who say covenant or fellowship must know that they are admonished of and that they are obliged unto new obedience. They must again and again consciously stand on, yes, consciously take their stand on the foundation, the only foundation, namely the blood of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. They must confess that apart from that foundation, they cannot stand, let alone walk in the light. And whoever does not walk in the light, remember, is in the darkness still. Let us then walk in the light as he is in the light, and we will have the light of life. Herein our God is praised, and that, yes, that is our blessedness, our joy, today and forever. Praise the Lord. Amen.